The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
Good morning. I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 1, the first book of the Bible, and the first five verses. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day and the darkness night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. I want to speak to you today, if I can, about in the beginning, God. Now this, what we have here in Genesis 1:1, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the world. As far as we're concerned, the universe and everything. Now, to be very clear, from the beginning, it begins with God. To be more specific, everything begins with God. This is very appropriate for the first verse of the first chapter of the Bible, of the first book of the Bible, to begin with this statement. This is the beginning. Now, it doesn't matter what men think or what men say. God's told us in His Word that His thoughts are not man's thoughts. What does that mean? What it means is that man's thoughts are wrong. God's thoughts are better than man's thoughts. As a matter of fact, God's ways are better than man's ways. But this is the beginning that we have here in Genesis 1 and 1. God says this is the beginning. I know what scientists say. But I'll tell you something, that makes absolutely no difference to me. Because scientists have something to say, and they always have something to say. But the scientists are wrong. I want you to know this. I've seen it in my lifetime. Read about it in history. Scientists have come and scientists have gone, and so have their words. What one says today, another will say differently tomorrow. What one scientist says what scientists say changes with time. Like I said, I'm old enough to have seen it myself. But the Word of God is forever. If you want, you can go ahead and pay attention to what they say. But I will tell you this, if you can, pay attention to what they don't say and the questions they don't answer. Because they'll tell you of a partial beginning. They won't go back to the beginning because they can't. But they'll tell you maybe there was a Big Bang. However, they're not sure what went bang. They may say that it was all matter that makes up our universe. It was in one place at one time at that beginning, before that thing went bang. But, and this is the key here, they don't ask and they don't answer the question, where did all this original matter come from? And the reason is, because they don't know, but they don't want to admit it. They don't know how this universe started. They don't know why this universe came into being, and they don't know how life began on this planet. Oh, they've got guesses, which they call theories. Sometimes they call them facts, but they're not. Because here's the point, and this is crucial. If you don't understand the beginning, you cannot understand the present. And if you don't understand the beginning or the present, you cannot understand the future. But the answer is right here in Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The beginning begins with God. Nowhere else, no one else. There's no preface to this. There's no introduction. This is it. This is the beginning. Everything starts here. The beginning is the time, according to the scriptures, the beginning is a time of creation. In the beginning, God created. Now, if you want to, you can look up the Hebrew word. It means created. It means has made. This is a flat statement. There's no room for debate. There's no room for speculation. There's no need for any of that. This is a bald statement. Like I said, no room for argument. No room for debate. No room for speculation. So, what does man do? He debates and he speculates. He imagines. He uses his own thoughts to come up with a process and gives absolutely no credence to the Word of God or to the existence of God or the possibility of an existence of God. Matter of fact, they'll do everything except believe the Word of God. Now here, God does not tell us how the earth and the heaven were created. He doesn't tell us here. There are some things he tells us in other places, and he gives us a hint in the creation of light. But the next verse says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." In the beginning was God. And the earth was out without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Where was man at this time? In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was not man. Man has a distinct tendency to overrate his own importance. Now, the Bible, if you will read it, will show you the exact opposite. I said something once at chapel, and I'll say it again here. It doesn't really matter what your opinion of yourself is. It's too high. It's too high. Because the Bible shows us what the character and the actual being of man is. He is fallen. He is totally depraved. He cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. And God is so much higher. There's no comparison. We are less than the small dust of the balance when compared to God. What we are, what we do, won't even disturb a balance that's at dead even. Not in the eyes of God. In the beginning, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. All of this, you'll see, is the work of God. Nothing of man in it, nothing of man anywhere close to it. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And then God spoke. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. What are the first words of God recorded in the Bible as having been spoken? "Let there be light." Everything I said starts with God, okay? Everything good starts with the light. Everything starts with God himself, because God himself is light. And he said, "Let there be light." Here we see the power of creation. How do we get light? What happened after God spoke? There was light. There was light. How do we get light? Well, there's only one way to get light. God has to speak. He has to speak. What do you mean? Well, I mean exactly what the Bible says. If God speaks, "Let there be light," there is light. And if God doesn't speak, "Let there be light," there is no light. His word is power. And see, this is how the earth was created. This is how light was created. It took the voice of God speaking it. His word is power. If God says it, it happens. That's the power of God. That's the power that man does not comprehend. That's the power of a holy, righteous, all-powerful, omnipotent God. He speaks, and it is so. It happens. There has been light since the beginning. Why? Because God spoke light. "Let there be light." And this is very important. I want to point this out. There is light whether or not you see it. If you see the light, yes. If you don't see the light, yes, there is light. Whether you see it or not. See, that's not the question. The answer here, the question here, is who spoke and what happened? God spoke and there is light, whether you see it or not. This is something the world doesn't quite grasp. And well, matter of fact, it doesn't even come close. It's not that they don't quite understand it. They don't understand it at all. Because look at the next verse. What does it say? "And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light," what? "From the darkness." God spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. God is light, and God comprehends light. So he saw the light, and that light was good. What does that mean for us today? Well, if the light was good, and God said it was good, the light is good today, and the light shall always be good. God said it. It's so. It's not a question of whether or not God is right, because God is always right. And it's not a question of God changing his mind later, because I'm God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is God. If you want to, we'll read a little bit later in John, if I got time, about whose voice spoke this world into being. Who created this world? Who said, "Let there be light"? It was God. It was God. It was God in the form and in the face of Jesus Christ, the Son, the eternal Son, who spoke the world into being with his voice. The power of God is revealed in the voice of Jesus Christ and in his words. But God saw the light, that it was good. And he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now this, in reality, in the history of this planet, actually happened. I'm not spiritualizing anything. This actually happened. God spoke and said, "Let there be light." There was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. This actually happened, and it's still with us today. God called what? I'll just jump ahead for just a second. You know, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And guess what? We still have day and night today. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And guess what? Tonight we'll have an evening, and then we'll have a morning after it. That's the way the world works. Why? Because God said so, and God separated the light from the darkness. There is a separation of the light and the darkness. And here we see the reason why God made it so. You understand? There's a little illustration here I want to emphasize, if I might. But here, clearly, in Genesis 1 and verse 4, light and dark do not mix. There's only two ways to be in this world, in the light or in darkness. Now you understand what darkness is, don't you? See, darkness is the absence of light. Light is the more powerful. Light is the overriding power. There's darkness. Darkness was what we started with. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Earth was without form and void. And God said, and it was never there until God said it, "Let there be light." The only light of the universe at that time, before God spoke that, was God himself, who is light. But he spoke, and it was so, and there was light. And God divided the light from the darkness. The darkness is the absence of light. And light is light. I don't know what other way to put it. I really don't. Light is the being of light. Because where there is light, there is no darkness. Now, it's also true. It's what they call the negative side. Where there is darkness, it's because there is no light. Or at least there's no recognition of or comprehension of the light. Because fallen man, and this is the illustration that I wanted to bring forth, speaking in the ways and about salvation here, which is in God, which is of God, which is from God, which is by God. Salvation, the fallen man as he naturally is naturally blind. What does that mean? It means that man of himself, as he is born, cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Man does not see the light naturally, even though God spoke it into being, and it is here on this planet. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to this planet. And what did John write about it? John 1 and verse 1. We read Genesis 1:1. Now we're going to read John 1 and verse 1. In the New Testament, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The life of the Word of God is the light of men. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. John goes on to tell us that later. He's recognized and spoken of by John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he said that when he saw Jesus coming toward him. Jesus Christ is the light of men. And that light shines in darkness, but the darkness doesn't comprehend it. The light of the world, our Lord Jesus Christ, always shines. Always shines. And the natural man, the darkness, always does not comprehend the light. This is the way man is. The light is real. Yes, he is. Jesus Christ is real. But also this. This is something the world doesn't even come close to grasping. The darkness is real. And the darkness, where it says comprehended it not, that means take hold of, to seize it, to grab it, to hold fast the Word of God. And that darkness does not take hold of the light. The darkness comprehended it not. The darkness did not see the light, and the darkness did not hold on to the light. The darkness does not want the light. Jesus Christ is the light, and men do not want him, not naturally. But praise God. Praise God, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When God brings a man in or a woman in to Christ, into Christ, he gives life. He gives faith. He opens their blind eyes. He opens their understanding. And what? They see the light. They see the light of the world, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do? They will comprehend it. They will comprehend him. Not perfectly, not totally, but yes, they will know that this is the Lord God Almighty manifest in the flesh. And they will hold fast. They will seize onto him. they will grasp at him. They will try, he's holding them, but they're holding on to him. This is what the child of God wants. The child of God wants to know and to be part of the light. Believers, because I want you to note very carefully, it doesn't say here that the light doesn't understand the darkness. The light does understand the darkness. The light used to hold on to the darkness. But now they don't. Now they see the light. They have been translated into the light. They've been given this by God. Now, we are in the light, but we do remember the darkness that we were transferred out of when we were transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son, who is the light. When God speaks, the dead live. And when the dead live, they see the light that came into this world, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And those in the light comprehend, seize onto, and hold fast to the light of this world, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We know the pit from which we have been digged, but we don't hang out there. See, this is the thing. Those that have been brought into the light are the only ones who know both the light and the darkness. It's in us still. It's in us still. But praise God, he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Why? Let there be light. And there was light. In the beginning, this is the way it started. And this is the way the Lord saves his people, bringing them in to his marvelous light. Thank you.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.